Hi, Chris Ballatin here. Welcome to my podcast, where I hope to inspire you to transform the world within you and transform the world around you. I'm excited to share this message with you today. I pray the Lord ministers to you as you listen.
We sent out, like, I don't know, what, 1,200 students, something like that? 1,400 students went out on missions trips this last couple weeks. The first testimony I want to share is they all came back. 26 years in a row, they've all come back. Yeah, so that's good. That's actually a pretty big miracle right there. They just went all over the place. One of the, we just heard so many stories this morning and testimonies. One of the stories I heard this last week, one of my team that works for me, her name's Rachel, she took a team to LA. You know, not exactly Haiti or Africa. Well, maybe it is kind of like that. Anyway, and there's 13 of them, and they went into a coffee shop, like a Starbucks or something, and one of the students when he came to the counter, this lady was behind the counter, and he said to her, "Ma'am, do you have a son?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "I'm sorry, ma'am. Is he like sick? Is there something wrong with him?" And she said, "Yeah, he was born without knees. He has no knees. And he's 3 and he's never been able to walk." And he said to her, "Well, ma'am, I believe Jesus could heal him." And she said, I've prayed for him every single day. I'm a Christian. I pray for him every day since he was born." And he said, "Well, can we pray right now? And I just feel like we're supposed to pray for him. Like, I believe God's going to heal him." So she said, "Sure." So I don't know how long that prayer was, but they prayed right there at the counter. And then they exchanged contact information. And the next day, he got a text message from her with a picture. And she wrote this: "Hey, good morning. You prayed for me last night for my son. I don't know what happened today morning. I woke up and was made breakfast and woke up my son, and I wanted to give him a bath. And I noticed, but something was different, and I kept him in the bath. By the way, this is how he was born." And she shows a picture of him with 2 legs with no knees on a picture. And says, "The doctor said he will never be able to walk. There's no bones in his legs. And now he's 3. And now my heart as a mom was devastated. And I prayed every night for him, for God to heal my son, Jonathan. There wasn't a day I did not pray for him, and you wouldn't believe what happened." And then there's another picture. And it says, "Doctor said that he would never be able to walk. There's no bones in his legs. He's now 3. Oh, I'm sorry. I read the same one again. It was a good one, though. This is, and now it shows a picture of him walking. Wrote this. She wrote this: "As I was giving him a shower, I could feel bone in his legs. And at first I was surprised and I thought I was imagining it. And I checked again and there was literally bone formed, and I have no words beyond this. Thank you for praying for me." And then there's a video of her son walking. That's crazy. Jesus is alive. So grab a hand. We're going to pray. You can also get a date for Easter this way. So Lord, we thank you for what you're doing this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the resurrection and life, not just 2,000 years ago, but you remain the resurrection and the life. And we bless this day, and we pray that miracles would break out even as we're preaching and worshiping and teaching. Lord, that miracles would just spontaneously break out in our online church, our on-campus church, that people just testify of crazy things happening in Jesus. Amen. Well, You know, the hardest thing about preaching, at least one of the hardest things about preaching, is to know what you're supposed to preach. And so what's really cool about this day is that I knew I was going to preach on the resurrection last year when I got assigned to preach on Easter. So it was much easier to prepare. So we're going to read quite a bit of scripture. Why don't you turn first to John 19, and we're going to just look just for a minute at the crucifixion. Verse 17, then they took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. So Jesus went to Golgotha. And I just want to point out that Jesus was crucified at a place called the Skull because Jesus is the head of the church. He was crucified at a place called the Skull because he is the head. How many know he's the head and you're the body? Now let's turn to John chapter 20, and this is going to tell some of the story of the resurrection. Verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and I do not know where they have laid him. I would just like to stop and point out that John calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. What's interesting is out of the four gospels, all the other three gospels call him John. John calls himself disciples whom Jesus loved. I'd point out that the four gospels were not, the other disciples were probably, John's gospel was probably not the favorite of the rest of the disciples, as John continues to call himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. But let's go on. So Peter, verse 3, so Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. And the two were running together, and the other disciple ran faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. I'd like to also point out that John's gospel is the only gospel that tells you who got to the tomb first. Now, Peter and John were running, but John got there first. Now, I don't know why this is important, because I wrote on the side of my Bible, and who really cares? And John's the gospel that also, John also wrote, if all the miracles that Jesus did were written down, the world itself could not contain them. So I don't know why, but it was very important for John to point out that they were running together, but John got there first, the one whom Jesus loved. And then it goes on to say, so the two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first, and stooping in and looking, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but did not go in. So Simon Peter also came, following him, and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in its place by itself. I just love this story because it really depicts the actual personalities of Peter and John all through the Gospels and into the epistles, where Peter and John run to the tomb and John got there first. But John doesn't bother to go in, but Peter just goes in. And I don't know about you, but Peter is just always like, he just always goes in. Like Jesus tells the disciples, I'm going to die and rise on the third day. And Peter's like, no, that ain't going to happen. I'll protect you. Don't worry, you got me. And Thomas is like, I doubt it. So, for as yet they did not understand, so the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. Verse 9, for they had yet to understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their homes, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have yet to ascend to your father. I have yet to ascend to your father, but go to my brother and say to them, I ascended to my father and your father, and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he said to these things to her. And when it was evening on the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. And the disciples then were rejoicing when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. That is such a powerful interaction with the disciples. The disciples are locked down in a house. The doors are locked shut. And I love this part. And Jesus enters the room with no door, because Jesus is the door. I'd like to point out that there may be places in your life where things are going wrong and there seems to be no place of access. But how many know that Jesus is the door? Like Jesus brings the door with him. You may say, nobody can touch my son. He's a drug addict. No one can touch my daughter. She's going through this thing. This thing, no one can heal my son. He's got no bones in his legs. No one can touch no one can fix this situation. My finances are so bad. But how many know the Lord brings the door with him and he has access to things that you don't know he has access to? I want to point out that when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, that was 2,000 years ago, but he continues to be the resurrection and the life. You may have a situation that looks impossible, and you're like, there's no way for Jesus to get in, but Jesus is the door. He brings the door with him. I don't care what situation you have, he continues to be the door in your life and mine. And the next point I want to point out that I think is so powerful is that he shows him his hands and his side. The scars on his hands and the scar on his side. I'd like to point out that he was scarred for life. I'm saying his resurrected body is still scarred. And he's scarred, you didn't get this, he's scarred for life. When he showed them his scars, they recognized him. And I'd like to point out that some of us are trying to hide our scars. Places where Jesus healed, there's no more pain, but often the Lord still leaves a scar there. Often the Lord leaves something that you're like, I don't want anybody to know this about me, because if they do, it'll take away my credibility. And I'd like to point out that Jesus was scarred for life. And often he leaves a scar on your life. There's no pain there, but there's still something that goes, you've been through the fire, you've been through the water, Jesus delivered you, and you still have this little thing that's a little bit strange about you. Like you have a hand that doesn't quite work, but you're like, I don't want anybody to know about that. I'd like to point out that Jesus is not ashamed of your scars. As a matter of fact, more often people will recognize you by your scars than they'll recognize you by anything else. Because people aren't looking for people who have a perfect Photoshop life. They're looking for people who have been through the fire and say, I know a God that can deliver you. That's become kind of the thing, to try to pretend like nothing ever happened bad in my life. Maybe you were a drug addict for 15 years. And you're like, I don't want anybody to know that because I want to have credibility. I want to point out when Jesus heals you, he might leave a scar, and the credibility is in the scar. That you are scarred for life, just like Jesus is scarred for life. And you're like, Lord, remove this scar. And the Lord's like, I'm not removing that scar. I'm actually letting people know you have that scar so they can connect with you, because they're going to recognize you by your scars before they recognize you by anything else. That's a good word, actually. Now, remember when they went into the tomb, John got there first. And they went into the tomb and they saw two linen wrappings. Do you remember this? One linen wrapping that covered the body was still, the Bible says it was still in its place. But the linen wrapping that covered the head, specifically John points out that it was folded up and it was put in another place. Why? Because when Jesus rose from the dead, the head was revealed. But the body has yet to been revealed. Are you with me? I look at Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. For all who've been led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ. I want to point out that, first of all, I'm going to read on just a minute, but how many know Jesus is not president of presidents? He's King of Kings. Listen, Jesus is not president of presidents. He's King of Kings. Why is that important? Because Paul points out that when we are saved, we become what? Children of God. You're not getting this. Do you understand God is your dad? And he's King of Kings. Who are the kings he's king over? I'm pointing out that he... It says that if we are sons of God, and because he's a king, he has heirs. And therefore, we are heirs with Christ. Are you with me? We are seated in heavenly places, past tense seated. You're like, how could I be seated in heavenly places when I'm right here? Because when Jesus rose from the dead, here we go. How many know, Jesus didn't just die for you, he died as you. When Jesus rose from the dead, you rose with him. Well, no, Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago. I wasn't born yet. But the Bible says that you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And it says that Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world. He chose you before the foundation of the world. He crucified Christ before the foundation of the world. And when Christ rose from the dead, he didn't just die to forgive your sins. He also died so that you could rise with him. Are you with me? This is a good word. And you are currently seated in heavenly places with Christ. Like, so you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and you're seated, not just seated in heavenly places, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, making you a joint heir. Let it sink in for a minute. Woo. You're a joint heir, fellow ruler with Christ. So I'm like, I don't want to be arrogant, you know. Arrogant. No, let me just point out. How many of you have children here? When your children do something amazing, do you like, oh, I hope they don't get too proud. Lord, keep them humble, we'll keep them broke. No. Listen, isn't it true that your children, whenever your children do something amazing, they are actually giving glory to the family name? I remember when my grandson played basketball and he hit a 3-point shot and I jumped up in the stands. I'm like, whose grandson is that? I didn't say, oh, I hope he doesn't think he's as good as I am. First of all, in basketball, that's not a possibility, but you get the point. My point is that the glory of sons actually give glory to the Father. Like when you do amazing, you're giving glory to the family name. Like it is, listen, you are a royal family. When you got born again, you're like, you don't know what family I'm born into. I don't know what family you were born into, but I know what family you were born again into. You were born again. You were born again into a royal family. So when you act other than royal, you get convicted. I'm not talking about condemnation. Condemnation says you lied, you're a liar. Conviction goes, you're way too awesome to be behaving like that. Yes. Conviction goes, you are royalty, stop behaving like that. Yes. Are you following me?
Yes.
Okay, well, follow me a little further. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because him who subjected it in hope that creation itself would also be set free from slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory. It doesn't say of God, it says of the children of God. Okay, can I read it again? For anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. What's the point he's making? How many understand that when Jesus died on the cross, that the gospel, that the good news, the blood of Jesus, wasn't just for humans. It was for all creation. Jesus said, preach this gospel to all creation. What does that mean? Well, let's go back to the garden. In Genesis chapter 1, God created man, male and female, in his image and likeness. And he said, rule over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the cattle, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I'd like to point out, women, that you have power over creeps. Okay? So when there's a creep, just go, hey, you were a creep. Right? Like, you might be victimized, but don't be a victim. Just like, I have power over creeps. You're a creep. Stay out of my life. I guess men can do that too, but I just thought it was powerful right now. And he said, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, right? Okay, so when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, I want to point out that one of the most profound ramifications of what they did wasn't just their disobedience. Because remember, God gave them power to have dominion over the earth. In fact, the psalmist wrote this, the heavens, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth has been given to the sons of men. Are you with me? So one of the most profound things that happened is that God said, don't eat the tree. The devil said, eat the tree. Follow me? So they didn't just disobey God, they obeyed the devil. And when they obeyed the devil, they changed masters. Are you with me? Remember in Luke chapter 4, in the wilderness temptation, when the devil came to Jesus in the wilderness, one of the temptations, he said, bow down and worship me, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the world, for they have been handed over to me. Who handed over to them? Adam. And what was the curse over Adam? Well, let's begin with the snake. Let's begin with the serpent. The curse over the serpent, God said to the serpent, you will crawl on the ground, eat dust. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between her seed and your seed. The curse over the devil is women will hate you. This is the curse over the woman. I mean, not over the woman, over Satan. Want to know why the devil hates women? The curse over the devil was I will put hostility between the woman and you. And she'll teach her sons. She'll teach her kids to hate you. That was the curse over the serpent. All of us who are married understand that. How powerful that could be. Anyway, it was supposed to be funny, but it didn't come out very well. The curse over the woman was that I will increase your pain in childbirth. And you and your husband will rule over you, but your heart will be for him. That was the curse. Your husband will rule over you was a curse. What was the curse over Adam? Curse over Adam was this. You're going to till the ground, but it's going to yield thorns and thistles. In other words, you're going to do the right thing, but the wrong thing is going to happen. How many of you know there's three levels of life, right? There are curses. That means you could do the right thing, but the wrong thing will still happen. There are sowing and reaping. That means I planted tomatoes, I got tomatoes. Like I got what I planted. But the highest level of life isn't sowing and reaping. The highest level of life is blessing. Remember Matthew 6, the birds of the air, they don't sow nor do they reap, but the Father dresses them better than Solomon. Are you following me? Okay, but here's where I'm going. Why did Jesus wear a crown of thorns on his head when he was crucified? And remember, the thorns were what? Pressed into his head. Blood was pouring down from the thorns being pressed in his head. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die for humans. He died for creation. And what was the curse over creation? You're going to till the ground, but it's going to yield thorns and thistles. What was Jesus doing on the cross with the crown of thorns? The crown of thorns was telling you that way of thinking, that painful way of thinking, I'm going to do the right thing. The wrong thing is going to happen. I am breaking that in the cross. Yeah. Are you with me? That the resurrection was not just for humans. It was for all creation. And when you receive, and when Jesus rose from the dead, how many know that you receive resurrection life? You receive resurrection life, but creation is still waiting for its removal from slavery to corruption. We just read, into the glory of what? The children of God. In other words, what's the point? How many know God knows who you are? The angels know who you are. Creation knows who you are. You're the only one who doesn't know who you are. And all creation is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. Because it's in your, listen, when Jesus died on the cross, the power to release creation from the power of curse was broken. But somehow it has to be catalyzed in that as you discover who you are, as the sons and daughters are revealed, creation itself gets free from corruption and comes in to the glory of the children of God. Like we want to bring, you want to talk about eco care. You want to talk about creation care. It's like the best thing you could do is figure out who you are in God. And when you start knowing who you are, how many know that creation is under the curse of pauperhood? It's waiting for us to come out of poverty so that we can begin to treat. The difference when you look at a drug addict's home and it's just a disaster, and you look at somebody who has an identity's home. Like creation is waiting for the children of God to understand who they are so that creation itself can be freed from corruption into the glory of the children of God. That's just a good word right there. In Romans chapter 6, it says this. What shall we say then? Are we continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who sinned, died to sin, still live in it? Verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old self, past tense, was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with so that we may no longer be slaves to sin. You know, we're having a baptism tonight. Did you guys announce that? The powerful thing about baptism is not a symbolic act. Baptism is a prophetic act. A prophetic act means physical obedience brings spiritual release. Now, the first part of the prophetic act in baptism is we put you under the water. It's Friday. You get it? It's Friday. Crucifixion. It's Friday. Some of you are like, it's Friday? He's getting old. It's Sunday. When we put you under the water, it's Friday. And what's happening is that you are dying with Christ. 47 times in the book of Romans, it says you're crucified, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. When we put you under the water, you are dead, crucified with Christ. You are co-crucified with Christ. But the most powerful part of baptism isn't actually the dunk. Because when we pull you out of the water, it's Sunday. Are you with me? See, that's why I said Jesus didn't just die for you. He died as you. Because you were in Christ when he died on the cross, and when he rose from the dead, you rose with him. Easter is not about 2,000 years ago. Easter is about a resurrection life that's happening in you, to you, and through you. This is a very good word. The Lord is moving powerfully right now through us. When Lazarus was dead, Jesus comes to the tomb, but he's 3 days late. Because when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he waited 3 extra days. So Martha goes out to meet Jesus, and she's not in a very good mood. And she tells Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, shall live. And she says, well, I know you're the resurrection and life, that you're going to rise in the last day. And he said, no, I'm in the resurrection and the life. Like, Jesus is currently the resurrection life. How many of you need something resurrected? We're not talking about, and those of you who don't raise your hand, you need more friends. Because I don't know if this works for you like this, but as soon as I get my problems kind of figured out, then I get a friend who has a problem. If you haven't raised your hand, you have something that needs a resurrection, you just need some more friends. Faithful are the wounds of friends. Okay, anyway. You can get them on Facebook. There's a lot of wounded people on Facebook in case you run out of them. Jesus is doing powerful things among us. He is currently the resurrection and life. I was thinking about this morning, many years ago, my daughter Jamie, when she was 8 years old, she had a grand mal seizure. At the time, it was the longest recorded seizure, 2.5 hours. It was the longest recorded seizure in Shasta County history. We lived in Trinity County, we brought her here. And so they took her by ambulance here, and we got her here, and then we had to wait. I don't know if any of you have ever been through a wait while you're waiting for the test to come back. And we waited days for the test to come back. I can remember specifically, we were waiting for the her brain scan to come back, and we're in a park. We walked in that park for hours while we waited for the results of that scan. The doctor's thinking it probably is a brain tumor. We walked that park and we prayed. And we finally, I mean, it took courage just to go back to the hospital to get the results. Anyone ever had trauma like that? It's a scar that remains with us. We get to the hospital and the doctor's waiting for us. Whew, that's kind of scary. Doctor's waiting for you. And he says, she doesn't have a tumor. She has epilepsy. Kathy's mother has really bad epilepsy, so we know all about epilepsy. So they put her on, there's two different kinds of drugs they use to control epilepsy. And I'll give you the short story. She was allergic to both of them. They didn't realize she was allergic to the second one until she spent 7 days in the hospital and almost dead. And the doctor decided to take her off the medication, and then she came out of the situation. And so they couldn't give her any medication for her grand mal seizures. If anyone's ever seen a grand mal seizure, it's pretty traumatic. So for 11 months, we had to stay with her 24/7. Like, if she went to the bathroom, she went took a bath. Someone had to be with her all the time. She had many seizures. And we had to take her back to Reading every month to see Dr. Ainsley, was the neurologist, to see if she still had epilepsy because she couldn't take any medication. And I think it was the 12th month, Kathy took her to Reading, drove her down to Reading. And I was just in our shop, working on a car. And the Lord said to me, there's going to be good news from a faraway land. Today, your daughter's healed. And I remember Kathy called me from a phone booth and said, hey, I just got back from Dr. Ainsley. Her EEG, her brain waves are totally normal. She's well, and she's 48 years old and never had a seizure since then. And I just want to say, I just feel like there's people in here that you need a miracle. And you're like, I don't know, there seems to be no way in. And I'd remind you what I said earlier, that Jesus is the door. Like, he gets into places people try to keep him out of. He gets into places he's not welcome. He gets into places you don't think he can get into. and this mama that we talked about this morning who prayed for her son in her text message, I pray for my son every day for 3 years. Today might be Easter for you. Like it was for that gal a week and a half ago. That today might be an Easter for you. And I feel like the Lord wants to do some miracles in here. In fact, I have a sense like that gal who prayed for her son every day, and then the student comes in and prays a relatively simple prayer across the counter. And the next morning, or I guess that night, the next morning she discovered her son had grown bone back. Why didn't it grow when she prayed for him for 3 years? Or was she laying seeds? Was she laying seeds down for the ultimate miracle? Maybe it just needed someone else to agree with her? I earnestly don't know the answer, but my point is that some of us have been praying for things for years, some for decades. And you've come here today and you're like, it's going to be Easter service. And I'm like, but what if the resurrection power of Jesus would invade that situation that you said is impossible? What if tomorrow morning you got a phone call from that daughter, from that son? I remember in Weaverville one Sunday, I actually came up front and there was a man in the service there who was a visitor. And I just said, hey, sir, could you stand up like we do all the time, ministers? I said, I don't know what's happening, but the Lord says that your son is today, he's going to call you. And you don't even know if he's alive. I had never met the guy before. He comes running up afterwards. He's just weeping. He's like, my son, I haven't seen my son in 7 years. I don't even know if he's alive. He's a drug addict. And so he goes away. He leaves. And then he's a friend of a friend of mine. And that friend calls me an hour later and says, that guy went home. We used to have answer machines. Remember those? On his answer machine is a message from his son. And he says, Dad, I'm in Humboldt County. I woke up this morning and felt like it's time for me to come home. And that man and his son were reunited. This man, I forget how many years he hadn't seen his son, but something, the prophetic word just opened up a door for him and created a Lazarus moment. And I feel like the Lord's just opening doors for people right now. I believe that there are things that you've given up praying for that you don't even think could happen. And it's like, there's just no way that can happen. And the Lord's like, I'm a door. You have no idea what places I can get into. You have no idea the places I get into. I heard this morning. This is early this morning before I came to church. I heard somebody was delivered from Dungeons and Dragons. I don't know if that's the game or like a metaphor. He delivered you and now he's sending you to the nations. I don't know. Is there someone in the room that speaks to you? Would you stand up, please? I feel to commission you. Yes, the Lord is sending you to the nations. And we just release right now a new anointing for a new day. And we just commission you to be a man who delivers others from the radical demonic oppression that you've been under and that you got freed from, that your scars, that you would be scarred for life. That your scars would be someone else's healing. That your story would be someone else's deliverance. That as you stand and share, that there would be people literally delivered. And I feel like the Lord has shown you the strategy of the enemy and how he lures little children in and how he lures teenagers in. And that the Lord has shown you, actually given you an anointing to break like sexual addiction and heroin addiction and cocaine addiction. Like there's something about your testimony that is releasing addicts, all kinds of addicts. And I feel like the Lord's going to use you to take down a whole porn ring, trafficking ring. Like I feel like he's already opened the door for you to like see things and know things and like an expert witness. And I just bless that in you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. That's a good word. Is there someone in the room named Sharon? Is there a Sharon in the room? Could you stand, please? The power of motherhood. Oh, the power. Hi, Sharon. I just released the power of motherhood through you. I feel like there's a matriarch anointing, like you're going from motherhood to matriarch. I feel like that this is going to be like a Sarah kind of thing, where God said to Abraham, which is always quoted, you shall be a father of nations. But the very next verse says, and so Sarah shall be a mother of nations. And I bless what God's doing in you. I see your house surrounded. I know that you bring students to your house, but I see students being around your, no, not just students. I see young people in your house, and I see them getting hungry for nations. And I see them calling you from different countries and you giving them like prophetic strategies about culture and about how to influence culture. I just feel like the Lord's opening a door that your pain is going to have a promise now, that your pain's going to have a promise, and that there's going to be release of anointing for you to actually shepherd people who are shepherding nations. And I bless that in you. Is there someone named Percy? Is Percy? Is there a Percy in the room? Okay, I'm going to give this word anyway because we have a... Oh, we have three overflows. The Lord's restoring the years to Percy. And I felt that there was some sort of addiction that took years off your life. But even people will say to you 3 months from now, you physically look like you went backward 10 years. And that there's something about your mind came back. There's clarity in your mind and in your body, even your face and your wrinkles are gone. What's happening? And I feel like almost like finding the fountain of youth. I just released this. And some of you were like, I'll take that too. You can, I'll take that from my geezer right here. I just release right now over Percy and over her family, like the restoration of family over them in Jesus' name. And yes, why don't everyone stand? I'm sorry, we should be done. There's a tormenting thing that's happening with people, several people in the room, where you wake up in the middle of the night and you're being choked. And it's caused you to not want to fall asleep at night. It's so traumatic. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Several people, yep. Okay, just keep your hand up. I'm going to pray for you right now. And Lord, I release, you said, the psalmist said, and the sleep of the righteous is peace. And I prophesy that your sleep from now on will be peace. And I pray for the angel of the Lord, Psalms 91, to protect you at night. And we assign angels to your bedposts even, that your nights will be full of sleep. And people on our online campus, the same, that you would sleep peacefully, that tonight would be the first of many nights. It would create faith for you to just lay your head on the pillow and go to sleep. I just release that over you in Jesus' name. Amen. And last thing I want to say, if you don't know Jesus, would you raise your hand? I know there's people in here that your mama encouraged you to come. Your papa encouraged you to come. If you don't know the Lord, or if you've fallen away, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you right now. And I do have a word for you too. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, we just bless every single person in here. And we pray that there would be an open door to things that have had no solutions, maybe for a decade. And I pray that you would open those doors today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, so be it. Amen. Come on, Tom.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. For more resources and to stay connected, you can visit my website at chrisvalatin.com. God bless you.